Jake, you have 5 days. They walked out. Dad said goodbye and walked out after them, and Sam, my mom, and I stayed there with blank stares on our faces. I wouldn't be surprised if Cameron or her mother screwed him, Mom said, breaking the silence. It doesn't matter. He was a lousy lay anyway. Jesus Christ, I muttered. A part of me is glad that you're opening up, even though you're 2.5 decades late, but can we please not talk about that? You're right, she nodded stiffly and looked away. When she looked at me again, she leveled me with a serious stare. This is one thing your father and I agree on, you know. I can see that. I think it's stupid, Sam said. It's what needs to be done, Mom said. How are you okay with this? I asked. I just don't understand why that part of the contract can't be changed, Sam argued. It isn't the 1920s. We didn't sign our contract in the 20s, Mom said. Still, that was a long time ago. Times have changed, Sam said. You're right, she responded. We have a board of directors now, and they all agreed to those terms. I scoffed. A board of directors you should have bought out years ago. You knew this was what was expected, Rowan. This isn't news to you. I thought you'd change your mind. I don't know, have a change of heart. Tell the board to go fuck themselves. Unfortunately, I can't. I sat back in my chair, rocking it back on 2 legs. Mom stood and gathered her purse. She looked at Sam. I want to get lunch with you before I leave next week. Okay. She looked at me. With both of you. At the same time. In the same room. Eating the same meal. Sitting at the same table. That's fine, Mom. I'll wait for you outside, Rowan. She walked out and shut the door behind her. I groaned, remembering I promised to take her to a favorite little restaurant down the street. And then there were two, Sam said. I felt my lip twitch. I know we don't talk like we used to, and we have a lot of shit to get through before we get back to a good place, he said. But I think you should consider the marriage thing. It can be a fake marriage just for documents. Hire someone or something. The thought of marriage made my chest burn. I'd fail at it, and I wasn't the kind of person who accepted failure lightly, but maybe if it was a fake? Maybe. Why don't you do it? Because I have no interest in taking over those accounts. Do I want to be part of it creatively? Fuck yes, but as far as becoming the next CEO, that's your dream, not mine. Besides, Dad groomed you for this. It's why they're insisting so much. You know how I feel about marriage. Same way I do. He shrugged. Like Dad said, it's a contract. Contracts can be broken. I'll think about it. I stood and walked to the door, my steps slowing as I reached it. Regardless of what was happening in my life, I realized one thing. My brother and I were truly in this together. He was getting burned as badly as I was. He didn't deserve to be pushed further into the fire alone. My throat ached as I turned and looked at him. You want to join us for dinner? What do you think about staying here and raiding Dad's liquor cabinet for old time's sake? I chuckled. That actually sounds like a great idea. I'll call Mom and ask her if she wants to bring back food and join us. Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Let's do it. He stood up and walked over to Dad's office while I made the call. 2 gin and tonics later, we were back to the sore subject of the marriage contract. Your father and I were married under similar circumstances. I would have married him without the pretenses, to be honest. I always wanted to marry him, Mom said, lifting her glass of scotch to her lips. My brother and I exhaled simultaneously. That doesn't make us feel any better. He reached for the polenta fries between us. We had both of you. We were a chore, Sam said. You were never a chore, she said, placing a hand on her chest as if his words hurt her. Please, I said. We heard that countless times coming from both of you. You don't have to pretend. It's fine. Children put a strain on a marriage, she said. I loved your father. Still love him. Not that it's ever going to be enough for him. You're the reason we never want to get married, Sam said, raising an eyebrow. Think about that. You may find a nice girl and change your mind, she said. I wanted to gouge my eyes out with a fork with all the marriage talk. Fat chance, Sam responded. Tessa's a nice girl, Mom said. I reached for some bruschetta and stuffed it in my mouth. Why was I suddenly feeling like I was being ambushed? The memory of my brother kissing Tessa by the pool came flooding back. I tried breathing through it. They were together. They were allowed to kiss. They were allowed to do... I couldn't. I reached for my glass, but the words flew out of my mouth before I could even bring the glass to my lips. You're not marrying Tessa. I never said I was, Sam said. But if he wanted to, Mom started. Tessa's been through enough because of this family. My voice was hard and non-negotiable, and I could only hope they'd buy into that excuse because I had no idea which other one to provide. I'm not going to marry her, Sam said with finality in his voice. I squeezed my glass tighter. Why was this happening, and why was I so damn upset over it? I tuned out the rest of their conversation and ate the rest of my meal. Your grandparents want us to have nothing to do with the front of the company. They claim we've made bad business decisions. Them pushing this is their way to try to save the company's image, Mom said, which had me glancing up. I'd missed a lot while tuning them out. My eyes shot to Sam, who looked as if he had no idea what to do when faced with an emotional female. Mom, just enjoy dinner, I said. Let's not talk about Dad or affairs or divorce right now, please. I glanced at Sam and mouthed, take her drink away. It seemed like alcohol only fueled her angry, sad, chaotic state. We sat there, waiting for her to breathe and get her shit together. And I wondered how often she did this in London. You're saying this is why one of us needs to get married? Sam asked. So that the company can keep its wholesome, family-owned appearance? Yes. I rolled my eyes. We live in a world where single CEOs are the norm, both male and female. Anyone can be anything. It's a wonderful time to be alive. Not at Hawthorne Fabrics, she said, her voice firm, her eyes narrowed. We are a family first company. We are a unit, regardless of what's happening right now. We've never really been a unit. I wiped my mouth with my napkin and stood to refill my drink. How can you say that? Because it's what we know, Sam said, shrugging. He took a sip of wine and set the glass down. If anything, you taught us to fend for ourselves. Neither you nor Dad were home most of the time, and when you were hidden behind separate offices, away from us. That should have made you closer, she said. It tore us apart. I set my utensils down and lifted my glass. You're right, though. We should have stayed close. We should have figured out how to love and be loved and show support for one another like the Cosbys or the Tanners or whatever other family show was babysitting us at the time. That isn't fair, she said. We built a great company for you. Dad had an affair with his secretary, had a family with her for God's sake. How could you even talk about family like we ever had one? Was building the company worth tearing down our family? I needed to get out of there. I hadn't even been able to breathe correctly since Tessa's name was mentioned. We went outside and idled by the exit, an awkward silence descending over us. I'm sorry that I've been such a failure, Mom said, choking up. You aren't a failure, Mom. You dealt with things the only way you knew how, Sam said. I couldn't find it in me to argue with her. Yeah. Avoidance. And now look, I'm in the middle of a divorce. And I've two sons who don't even know the first thing about family and who don't know how to care about others. Even each other. She buried her face in her hands, her shoulders trembling slightly.
I'll take her home, Sam said quietly.
I'll walk with you.
We walked a block over, where the sidewalk was buzzing with couples and families strolling by. I glanced inside the art gallery when we walked by and wondered who they were showcasing tonight.
Seems like they've got a full house, I said.
They're showing Frederick Monty's work today. I guess he started painting when he was overseas and it really stuck with him. Tessa's in there documenting the whole thing for him. He wanted to come, but...
Why didn't you go?
Sam frowned.
We had a meeting.
We did have a meeting, but he didn't have to join us for dinner. He didn't have to offer to take Mom home. He could have excused himself and said he needed to go be with Tessa. She was having a hard time with things. I mean, she blamed herself for her parents selling the company, their divorce, and she was selling the house she loved and grew up in, and now she was acting as a stand-in for her brother? What the fuck?
It isn't like she asked me to go with her, Sam said.
I'm sure she's fine. I focused on my steps and putting air into my lungs, slowly. Maybe I was reading too much into it. Maybe she didn't want him to accompany her to this. It wasn't like this was her thing. It was Freddie's. I said my goodbyes to them in the parking lot and watched as Sam drove away. The minute his black Mustang disappeared from view, I turned around and headed back to the gallery. Chapter 17. Rowan. I walked inside and smiled at some familiar faces before heading over to the first painting. I stood there for a long time, trying to figure out what the fuck I was looking at. I gave up and looked at the plaque beside it, my eyebrows hiking up at the price. Jesus, Freddy, were people buying this shit? I looked around and saw a couple talking to a man, who I assumed was in charge of sales, and realized they were. I smiled. Good for him. I was still looking around when she walked into the room. My heart stopped beating. Even if I hadn't known her, I wouldn't have missed her. Couldn't have. She wore a red dress and flowed into the room like licks of a wildfire, consuming everything in her wake. People turned their heads, conversations quieted. My heart pounded harder, louder, faster. I swallowed to rid myself of the emotion. It wasn't something I should be feeling for my brother's new girlfriend, regardless of who had her first. She deserved to be with someone like him, someone who'd treat her well. I shook the thought out of my head as quickly as it had formed. No. After all, he wasn't here. And what she deserved was to be free. Being with him would only hold her back, hold her hostage to this town. She flipped her long, dark hair out of her face and turned her head, her gaze clashing with mine. It did nothing to calm my frantic heart. My feet moved toward her. Her lips didn't move, but her eyes smiled as she turned and disappeared into the next room. She must have known I'd follow, and I did, craving that fire, that burn. She was looking at one of the paintings, head tilted and lips pursed when I walked into the room. I wished I could hear the thoughts skipping about in that brain of hers. It didn't surprise me that she chose to walk into the only area in the gallery that was empty. Tessa had always been like that. She sought silence in a room full of people. I love that about her. Love that she could be the center of attention in a room and not want it, or have a fucking clue she had it at all. As I sidled up beside her, she stiffened, as if feeling the charge that lit the air between us. What does the Queen Sprite say about this one? She looked up at me, a small smile on her lips. I like it.
Just like.
Did you bid on it?
No.
Have you bid on any of them?
Not yet, I said.
I wouldn't bid on anything without getting the input of a professional art dealer. She snorted.
You're such a dork.
You're such a dork, I said, bumping her with my side. She shook her head, smiling as she walked over to the next painting. This is one of my favorites.
It's morbid as fuck. The canvas might as well have been a depiction of the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones.
I wasn't even sure what I was looking at, but with all that spattered red, that was what came to mind first. Tessa laughed. "It's a heel," she said. "I don't see it." "Like a red bottom heel." She extended her arm and drew the shape of the heel. "Why does the floor look like it's covered in blood?" "Bloody shoes, bloody heels, red bottoms," she said, looking at me as if I were supposed to know this. I didn't, so I tilted my head sideways and looked again. "Nope. Still don't see it." "That's one of his more modern pieces. I think he was trying to showcase how much our society focuses on material things and how much they cost us. Let's move on." She shook her head, still smiling as we moved to the next one. We stayed quiet for a moment, staring at the stretch of canvas. It was almost entirely white but had thin black lines that made circles, the way teachers make you practice for better handwriting. She cleared her throat, but her voice still caught and came out a whisper. "This one's mine." My face whipped to look at her. She looked as if she was about to start crying, but she took a deep breath and the storm calmed. I looked at the canvas again and at the plaque beside it. "Frederick Monty." "What do you mean, yours?" "The white canvases with the black lines," she whispered. "I painted those. He told me to sell them, but I said no, so he asked if he could sell them under his name and give me the money." She shrugged. I looked round the room and realized there were four, maybe five, black and whites. To be honest, they were just scribbles, but wasn't that what abstract art was? Scribbles that made you feel. And hers made me feel pride. "They're beautiful, Tess." She glanced away to hide her reaction. I moved to stand in front of her and lifted her chin so she'd look at me. I repeated my words, needing her to know that I was seriously impressed. She blushed beautifully and pulled free from my hold. She walked toward the back door and pushed it open. Once the door swung shut, my eyes swept the room. And like the fool I was, I followed after her, running down the stairs and walking toward the woods behind the building. "What happened?" Tessa shook her head, not facing me. I walked around and stood to block her from fleeing deeper into the forest. I reached out and tipped her chin up again until our eyes met, and hers were welling with tears. "It's stupid." She blinked, the movement making a tear trickle down her cheek and onto my thumb. "Tell me." "I just hate being here without them. I hate selling the house and..." She shrugged. I dropped my hand and waited for her to continue. "It's as if nothing matters, you know? Like we're here 1 minute, and the next we aren't, and the world just goes on without us. We sold the company, and it's as if no one even remembers our factory was ever there. I drove by the other day, got out, and the guard up front had changed, so I couldn't even check out the grounds. It was as if it was never mine. And they're selling Freddie's paintings in there, and he isn't even here to see it. He isn't here to experience the look on people's faces when they finally see his art for the first time. Like it doesn't even matter." She shook her head, laughing a bit. "I told you it was stupid." "It isn't stupid." I stepped forward and wrapped my arms around her, inhaling against the top of her hair, reveling in her calming lavender scent. I held her tighter. She brought her arms around me, and my heart rocked. If I died right there, in that moment, with her arms around me, I'd die happy. When was the last time I'd felt that sense of comfort? I thought about that for a moment, my mind flipping through memories and coming up short until I pulled up the last time we were together. That was the last time I felt this. And yet, I'd left. I'd broken it off and never looked back. Right then wasn't the time for that either. It wasn't the time to be selfish with her affection, but God damn, I needed it like I needed my next breath. "I miss you," she said against me. I miss your stupid jokes, and your stupid laugh, and your stupid smile, and your stupid bear hugs. I'm glad to hear it. A piece of my heart cracked, knowing that I'd miss telling her dumb jokes just to get her to smile, and hugging her close like this. I chuckled at her muffled rant, relishing the feel of her against my chest. I wanted to pull back and kiss her, to hike her onto my shoulder and run off with her. The realization rocked me. My heart felt like a ton of weight had suddenly been dropped on it. I'd always wanted her, but I hadn't realized how badly I missed her, just this with her. I reared back and looked at her. You're with Sam now.
I'm not.
She shook her head, biting her lip as she glanced away briefly. You broke up?
We were never together.
It was a hookup? I almost gagged just asking the words. I didn't want my brother to have had her in ways I hadn't. It was wrong to feel that way, and I knew it. We'd only fooled around, but fooling around with Tessa was the equivalent of a threesome. That's the kind of high I got from her. Maybe it was why we'd never gone all the way together. The thought of giving in so completely, it terrified us.
No,
she said.
We were never together.
Period. I saw you kissing by the pool. She smiled, shaking her head.
Awful timing.
Your tongue was in his mouth. I don't know how that has anything to do with timing.
We kissed because we had to. We had to see if we felt anything. Don't you think it would be convenient and easy and just better if I was with someone like Sam? Who didn't drive me crazy? Who didn't make my heart sputter out of control every time he walked into the room? Who didn't make me think insane thoughts at night before bed or make me stay up all night thinking about his lips on mine?
I closed my eyes and swallowed to keep some semblance of control, but I was losing more and more of it with each second that ticked by. I breathed out, opened my eyes again, and looked at her. Are you saying you feel that way about me?
You know how I feel about you,
she whispered. I wanted to make her say it, but didn't. I didn't need her spreading more of that magic around me, making me go as crazy for her. I had to make sure we both knew this was a bad idea, a horrible idea. I needed to know we both knew it had an expiration date, but of course, she knew that. It was me who needed to learn that. I'd once selfishly asked her to follow me to school, and it had been a mistake. She didn't deserve to stay here. But damn, a part of me wished she would. I felt like a bastard thinking it, but it was true. I needed to stop thinking like that. Last time I'd broken things off because jealousy would have driven me insane if she'd been mine, and I knew she was someplace else, flirting with other guys. It was immature, yes, but I had never claimed otherwise. Having this opportunity with her meant the chance to right my wrongs, and I wasn't sure I was capable of doing that and letting her go again. I swallowed my pride. You're leaving for good this time, I said.
Well, yeah, at least this time we know goodbye is inevitable, she whispered,
eyes pleading, mouth parting slightly. Because you're only here for another week, I said. She stepped closer, almost flush against me. I tightened my hands at my sides to keep from reaching out just yet, hoping she'd contradict everything I threw at her. Hoping to end this once and for all. We weren't meant to be. We never had been. We never would be. She wanted to be free of this place, and I had ties that rivaled the roots of a white oak keeping me here. I searched her eyes. Things will never work.
You're right. It'll end in flames, she responded.
My balls tightened. I reached out for her, this time wrapping an arm around her waist and pulling her against me. I hated seeing his lips on yours.
It meant nothing, she said. I felt nothing.
What about now? I inched closer, heart pounding. Her eyes shut in a sigh. You know how I feel.
I want you to tell me.
Why? So you can try to mimic my emotions? She opened her eyes, smiling softly. My heart tripped. I decided it was best to let her think that. Let her think that I didn't yearn for her the way I did. Let her think I didn't know what love felt like or what it did to a person. After all, it was what I'd said my entire life, wasn't it? I wasn't sure it was far from the truth, and in this moment I didn't care. I pulled her close to me and bent to claim her mouth, my tongue delving in and erasing any doubt she may still have about whether I wanted her as badly as I did. I forgot about my responsibilities, forgot about the pretend wife I was supposed to run and find and practice pretend feelings with. In this moment, my life began and ended on Tessa's lips. "Let's get out of here," I said, pleased to see she looked as breathless as I felt. "Please."
Chapter 18. Tessa. He held my hand as we walked back to the gallery. It was a simple gesture, but it both warmed and excited me. I couldn't remember the last time I'd held hands with anybody. Surely in college, but I couldn't remember. It wasn't as if I was living it up anyway. I could count on one hand the number of dates I'd been on. It was a weird time in my life, though. We paused by the door of the gallery. Rowan glanced at me, waiting to see if I wanted to go back in. I simply shook my head, and we continued walking toward the sidewalk. It wasn't that I couldn't go back inside. It was that I didn't want to. Maybe it was the way his lips felt on mine, or the way he was being so attentive. But I found myself with only one thing on my mind, and that petrified me. Rowan seemed to sense this because, again, he stopped in front of a door, this time one that led to a bar. "You want to get a drink?" I looked over my shoulder and scanned the bar. It was loud and rowdy, and I had zero interest in taking part in the chaos. I glanced up at him and shook my head softly. He smiled one of those smiles that warmed me all over, tugged my hand gently, and led me away from the bar. He walked into the grocery store, and I followed with a frown, but didn't ask any questions. I simply let him lead me into the wine aisle, and then over to the cheese. For a guy who could barely make mac and cheese the last time I spent time with him, he put together a little makeshift picnic pretty damn fast. We paid and walked to his car. I smiled, looking up at him. "If I didn't know any better, I'd think you had this all planned out."
"Sometimes life hands us lemons. Sometimes it hands us grapes."
He brought the bottle of red wine up with a grin.
"You look like you may need some of the fermented kind."
I laughed a nervous laugh because I wasn't sure where we would go from there. My stomach fluttered with possibilities. We'd messed around plenty of times during our short time together. But it was just that, messing around. We didn't go all the way, and I still to this day couldn't tell you why. But the moment I thought about going all the way with him, I felt like I may die. So maybe that was it all along. Maybe this crazy, intense need I felt for him held me back because I was so afraid of what would happen after. Every time we kissed or fooled around, it felt as if he took little pieces of me. And I had been afraid that going all the way meant he'd take more than I could handle living without. Rowan had always driven as if the street was his own personal NASCAR arena, speeding with precision, taking every sharp turn gracefully, and only slowing when we reached residential areas. Tonight he drove slowly and cautiously, which was a stark contradiction to my rapidly beating heart. He hadn't said where we were going, but when we reached the hill where our parents' houses sat, I assumed it was my big empty house. Instead, he drove past the houses and over the curb at the end of the road. We bounced around a bit over the gravel as we headed down the hill and stopped by the rocks. Growing up, we'd jokingly call this Lover's Lane. My pulse skittered. How many times had we met in this exact spot late at night? How many things had we done here during those meetings? I felt my face flame at the memories. It was also where he'd broken things off. Despite all the incredible memories we'd created here, that was the one that glared, stuck its tongue out, and made fun of me for still believing in inconceivable notions with a person clearly unfit to reciprocate them. I let him lead me down to the shore, hanging back as he laid his jacket down as a makeshift blanket before he extended his hand to me. Only then did my feet move. I took a moment to take off my heels, letting my feet sink into the lukewarm sand as I walked over and sat on his jacket. He sat beside me with a sigh, uncorking the bottle of wine. I had forgotten how clear the sky was out here. I buried my hands into the sand behind me and leaned back. It truly was a work of art. One of the paintings that Freddy had put on display was of Orion, not that anyone would know it without my explaining it to them, as messy as it was. I guess we forget a lot of things when we step out of our comfort zone. Or remember them, he said. The bottle popped, the liquid pouring into the plastic cups followed.
I think that was the thing that surprised me most about being away for so long. I was always surrounded by people, by noise, and I realized how much I missed the silence of this place.
I smiled, sitting upright to look at him as he handed me my cup. You never appreciated silence.
I didn't appreciate a lot of things until they were no longer around.
You can't say things like that, Ro.
Why not?
He inched closer, tapping his cup to mine. We held each other's gazes as we took our first sips. What was I supposed to say? That I liked him too much? That he broke my heart when he ended things? I swallowed back all of my emotions and stuck to the safe bet. Because it sends mixed signals. I'm either just someone you hook up with or I'm not.
You've never been just anyone to me. You know that.
I don't.
You were my best friend.
I scoffed, turning my attention to the water ahead.
You were.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have stayed friends. He shifted closer, dropping his lips onto my bare shoulder.
Do you really feel that way?
God, no. He bit my shoulder lightly, and I stifled back a moan. I definitely didn't feel that way. I wanted him with every molecule of my existence despite it all. Because of it all. Who even knew anymore? When it came to Rowan, it was as if my brain was stuck in overdrive all the time, not wanting to take breaks out of fear of what it might miss out on. It was dangerous territory, the kind where you knew you needed to hit the brakes and slow down, but couldn't because they were malfunctioning. We shouldn't do this again, I whispered, meeting his gaze. His face was close to mine, his lips close to mine. I wanted him to disagree with me, to counter my statement with one of his own.
I know.
I'm leaving.
I know.
He leaned in, pressed his lips against mine lightly, and then moved to my cheek, my eyelid. I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting out of here,
I breathed. I would never stop you.
My heart hammered, but when he kissed me again and pressed his hand onto my breast, his fingers stroking slowly, I threw caution to the wind and gave in to the temptation. When we'd come here as teenagers, it was always pitch black out. In the years that had passed, the town had installed lamps every 10 feet, and even though we weren't directly beneath any, the soft orange glow of the light bathed us as I straddled him. He unzipped my dress purposely, slowly, dragging his fingers down my back along with the zipper. I gasped, arching against him, closing my eyes as my body began to tremble with raw need. He leaned forward, hands cupping my ass, and pressed open-mouthed kisses down my neck.
Tessa.
My name was a groan on his lips as he brought his hands up and unveiled me, discovering that I wasn't wearing a bra. He opened his eyes and met my gaze quickly, before cupping my breasts, positioning my pert nipples into his mouth, and licking, sucking, nipping. I ground against him again, needing the release the large tent in his pants was sure to bring.
I've been dreaming about this since your car broke down.
He breathed the secret against my chest, bringing his hands between my legs and hooking my underwear aside. The moment he pressed his thumb against my clit, I dug my fingers into his hair and threw my head back with a moan. "Don't stop," I whispered. He slid his fingers inside me, his thumb working my clit while his mouth teased my nipples. I felt my core tighten.
"You look so goddamn beautiful when you let yourself be like this,"
he said, dragging his lips to my throat and finally pressing them against my own.
"I love you like this."
My eyes widened on his, but I kept grinding, kept up the rhythm his fingers had presented me with, faster, matching my rapidly beating heart. "Please don't stop."
"Never."
He brought his face down to my chest again, his fingers increasing the movement between my legs.
"I plan on never stopping. I'm going to cherish this body of yours for as long as you let me."
Each word from his mouth brought a new embarrassing sound from my lips that I wished I could control. I was aware of the state we were in. Him fully clothed, me almost completely naked. But I couldn't bring myself to care. I was on a roller coaster, and all I could do was brace myself for whatever came next. Everything inside me tightened when his lips fell upon my breasts again. His fingers worked me like strings of a guitar, strumming each chord into something intricate and magical.
"That's it, baby. Let go,"
he urged, but I was already there. My heart seized, but my body went thrashing against him, and I screamed his name until I found that place in my mind where no thoughts occurred, only feelings. And that was when I let myself fall. Chapter 19. Tessa. I woke to the sound of my phone vibrating on my dresser. It took me a second, but I opened my eyes, blinking at the light pouring into my room and turning over on my side. Then I remembered. Rowan. We'd gotten frisky and tipsy, or at least I had, and he'd brought me home and stayed the night. We didn't have sex, but we did so many other things that drove me completely crazy. I thought of the way his lips made their way down my naked body, and the way he teased me with his tongue until I screamed his name so loud I was sure the entire neighborhood would hear it. I'd returned the favor, and once we were spent, we fell asleep, his heavy, muscled arms around me, his lips on my shoulder. I sighed and answered my brother's second phone call in 2 minutes.
"How'd it go?"
he asked. "The turnout was great," I cleared my throat. "I left toward the end, but there were still a lot of people looking around."
"Colleen called to say 7 of the paintings sold."
7? I sat up straighter. "That's incredible."
"They'll leave them up through the weekend just in case,"
he said.
7 is pretty major."
"So major," I smiled wide. "Congrats."
"Thanks. Do you think you'd be able to go by there and sign off on some things on my behalf? Colleen always emails it to me, but it's always much smoother if someone's there to sign off on things. It'll make the process much faster."
"That's fine. When would I have to go in? Today?"
"No, not until they take everything down and start to package."
"Let me know."
"Thanks, Tess."
"Anytime." He paused.
"Anything on the house yet?"
"The agent listed it."
"So it's a waiting game now,"
he said, exhaling into the line.
"Have you decided? New York or Paris?"
"Nope."
"The answer is so obvious to everyone except you."
"Why? Because Mom's over there?" I rolled my eyes. "You know, she doesn't live in Paris."
"Doesn't matter, Tess. You're literally a hop away from the city." "Freaking Paris? When will you ever get to say you did that?"
He was right, of course, but still. I loved New York, no matter what anyone said about it. I threw the sheets off and stood on wobbly legs. My muscles were sore. Everything was sore. I smiled. Let me know about the papers. I'll be around. We said our goodbyes, and I tossed my phone onto the bed before grabbing my terry cloth robe on my way to the bathroom. I wondered when Rowan went home. Was he even staying at his parents' old house, or did he have his own place? We'd never really gotten around to talking about that. Or much, really. My face heated at the thought of everything we did. A part of me was disappointed that he left, but I shook the emotion away before it got the better of me. Regardless of what did or didn't happen last night, I had enough on my plate, and there wasn't any room for me to worry about Rowan and his feelings or lack thereof. The image of Cameron and her smeared lipstick filled my mind like a dark cloud, threatening to take over my mood. I swatted it away as I stepped into the shower, but all it did was prance around from afar. After I showered, I threw on my bathing suit, one of my brother's old Air Force t-shirts that I used for the gym, and headed downstairs. In the kitchen, I grabbed a banana and water bottle before going out back. I inhaled the familiar scent of pine and woods as I passed the pool and headed toward the lake. It was sad that I wouldn't have this anymore. Soon I'd leave it all behind, start my real adult life, and only visit Grandma Joan when I could find the time. With how ridiculously expensive international flights were, if I chose Paris, I wouldn't be able to just hop on a plane and come visit Grandma Joan whenever I wanted. I neared the end of the forest and nearly tripped over my feet when I saw Rowan standing there, hands on his hips, as he looked at the water in front of him as if he were some kind of explorer trying to come up with a name for his new discovery. I stood for a moment, staring at his massive back and the scratch marks I'd left on his shoulders. "I thought you left." He turned around, facing me with a smile that made my heart stop for a beat. "Don't be that girl, Tessa. Don't be the woman whose heart stops at the sight of a man just because you've seen each other naked." I pushed on and closed the distance between us, my heart stuttering when his arm curved around me and his lips came down on mine in a slow, toe-curling kiss. He pulled away slowly and searched my face, eyes twinkling.
"You thought I would leave?"
"I don't know." I shrugged, tearing my gaze from his in hopes to hide my blush, knowing I'd failed at the latter when I heard him chuckle.
"I don't think I've ever seen you blush."
"Shut up."
"Oh my God,"
he said, voice full of amusement I was not about to partake in.
"This is what it takes to embarrass you?"
"Shut up," I groaned, sidestepping him and walking toward his canoe. He laughed harder and wrapped an arm around my middle, pulling my back flush against his chest. His mouth came down to my ear.
"Always running away from me."
"Always chasing me away," I whispered back, heart pounding. He kissed the top of my head, dropped his arm, and started to walk ahead of me. I tried not to dwell on how bereft I felt without the feel of his touch on me and followed behind. He climbed in, legs slightly apart to balance out the weighting of the canoe, and held his hand out to help me step in. He'd placed a white tablecloth on the little seat and a small pillow on either end. There was a basket and two strips of pine needles. I plucked them from the makeshift table, willing my heart to stop racing. He'd put together a picnic for me. For us.
"Those are your flowers,"
he said. I glanced up at him as a small smile tugged at my lips.
"Did I do this right? I can usually tell when you like something, but you aren't saying anything and you look like you're about to start crying."
"I just wasn't expecting this." I made myself blink rapidly. God, is this what love felt like? No. I shook the thought away and brought the pine branches up to my nose, smiling at him. "Thank you." He watched me for a moment and broke the stare before picking up the paddle and taking a seat. I sat across from him and put my hands on my lap, unsure of what to do. Normally, I'd grab a paddle and help, but he only had one in the canoe. I looked over my shoulder and spotted my paddle sitting beside my canoe. "Should I get my paddle?"
"Nope.
Should I—
Tess.
The way he said my name made my attention whip toward him.
I just need you. Nothing else.
My heart jolted, but I managed to keep my mouth shut and not make a fool of myself. Damn it, Tessa. This is Rowan. Your friend. The guy you used to race on the lake. The one who used to walk you home late at night after parties. But in all honesty, I could barely remember that time when we'd been just friends. Maybe because you were always secretly in love with him. Impossible. What the hell did I know about love, anyway? It was just a stupid notion people like to write poems about. I picked at the pesky thought anyway, like lint on my sleeve. What if I was in love with him?
You still with me?
He asked, a curious smile on his face. Sorry. I blinked and then set the twig of pine on the cushion and took a deep breath, glancing around. It's a nice day. He started to row away from the dock, his back and chest expanding with each wide movement he used to push us along. He'd always been impressive to watch, but today it felt different, as if I were more than just a spectator. If I reached over and touched him, it wouldn't be weird. He grinned, and I snapped my eyes to his quickly, feeling as if I'd been caught doing something salacious. Okay, so maybe it would be weird to lean in and do something. I bit back a smile and glanced away. The water was always serene, but right then, it looked like glass. He stopped rowing near a little floating platform all of us used to visit back in high school. It was kind of our stopping point, or at least mine. If we ever raced, this was the point where we'd go up to. Sam and Rowan used to do it often, and even though Rowan would beat him by a landslide each time, it had always been pretty funny to watch. I looked around and took in the view. It was truly a beautiful day. The sun was shining, and the clouds looked like little cotton balls. The perfect painting. I looked over at the houses and spotted his parents' dock. It always stood out because of the amount of canoes and paddles they had laid out. I wondered how much longer it would look like that. How much longer will you be living at your parents' house?
Not much longer,
he said.
The building I'm moving into won't be complete until November, but my apartment should be finished in a few weeks.
I can't picture you in an apartment with no access to the water. His lips twitched.
It's on the water.
Of course it is, I smiled. What was I thinking, Poseidon? He grinned and watched me for a long, silent moment. Long enough that I found myself looking away just to try to ease the tension pulsing between us.
Are we going to talk about last night?
We can if you want. I kept my eyes on the horizon, unwilling to meet his gaze just yet.
Tess.
He leaned in, reaching out and pulling my hand to his chest. I swallowed and looked at him. His expression was serious in a way I'd only seen it a handful of times. Normally, he walked around with mischievous eyes, as if he were privy to some joke and the rest of us were the butt of it. I thought about Cameron again, and tried not to read into the intensity of his gaze. I'm fine, if that's what you're worried about. It isn't like we haven't fooled around before.
Not like that.
I felt myself blush again. No, never like that. I hadn't let any guy go down on me. I'd always thought it was a weird concept, but with Rowan, things were different, which was part of the problem. He searched my face a second longer before nodding and leaning back a little.
I have to go to New York this week. You should come with me.
To New York? My eyes widened. I can't. Not right now, with everything going on. Not to mention, hotels are expensive and—
I'm not expecting you to pay. And we would be driving, not flying. And as my personal assistant, I think you should come.
I'm hardly your personal assistant, and you know it.
You've secured more meetings in a week than the other girls did in months.
That's because I'm not active on social media. His lips twisted into a small smile.
I hate that you aren't active on social media.
Because you can't cyberstalk me? My heart dipped at the way he was looking at my mouth as he nodded. The boat rocked as he moved and braced his arms on either side of me.
I wouldn't call it stalking.
What do you call running by my house every morning?
Why do you have to label everything?
He leaned in until our noses were touching. My pulse skittered. I don't, I swallowed. Not anymore.
Good.
His lips formed a small, barely there smile as he settled back into his seat.
Come with me.
I still have to sell the house, and Freddy wants me to sign some papers and...
Everything will still be here when you get back. We'll only be gone 4 days. They can put a lockbox on the house and leave the papers for you to sign when you get back.
I leaned back, placing both arms on either side of the boat and tossing my head back as I closed my eyes. The sun was hiding behind clouds, which put a damper on my tanning plans, though I knew I'd get some color nonetheless. I jolted when I felt his hand close over my foot. He pulled the other one over the little makeshift table between us, settling them on his legs and started to massage them. A moan escaped my lips unwillingly, and my eyes snapped open. His hands were still moving over my feet in a relaxing motion when my eyes met his dark, lust-filled gaze. My stomach flipped.
Come with me. We'll make a road trip out of it, he said. I'll need someone who knows about fabric to look at some, and to accompany me to an event while I'm there.
He squeezed my foot.
Please.
Fine.
His wolfish grin was the only confirmation I needed to know that I'd made a mistake, but it was too late to go back on my word.
Chapter 20. Tessa.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Samson asked, frowning over his beer.
I shrugged.
Is anything I do ever a good idea?
Fair point.
He shot a pointed look at my whiskey.
If you keep shooting those back, you're going to be on your ass before the rest of the crew gets here.
I smiled and took a healthy sip of the whiskey while he rolled his eyes and shook his head, muttering something about not holding my hair back tonight. We had arrived earlier than everyone else, but Rowan promised he'd come, as did Wilmer and Corrigan. Melanie said she'd try, but she was introducing her fiancé to her parents today, so it wasn't likely. I was okay being the only girl in the group, because I'd done it so many times, but a familiar female face would have made it better. Plus, I was dying to see her engagement ring. How was your meeting with your parents the other night?
He eyed me warily. I thought Rowan might have told you since you've been hanging out again.
He didn't. I frowned. You guys are talking again?
Not really. I mean, not actively, but we're doing better. It's only when your name is brought up that he acts like he wants to kill me.
His scowl made me laugh. I'm sure he doesn't want to kill you.
If you can even think that, you don't know my brother as well as you think you do.
Whatever. I shook my head and took a sip from the almost empty glass of whiskey. I was kind of having a moment the night of your family meeting, so when we did see each other, we didn't talk about him much. Or at all, come to think of it. We were too busy doing other things. I glanced away to hide my blush.
Because of the exhibition? How did it go?
It went well. I smiled, thinking about it. My smile dropped as I thought about my breakdown. I feel like things are changing so much, so fast. I glanced away and caught sight of Rowan walking toward us with Corrigan in tow. My heart picked up the pace at the sight of him. He was wearing a dark t-shirt, which stretched snugly over his broad chest and shoulders, and jeans.
I wanted to slide out of the booth and jump on him right there.
I looked away quickly, back at Sam, in an effort to control my overactive libido.
You've never liked change, he said. You're afraid of it.
I frowned as I let his words settle in. I'm not afraid of change.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You aren't what?
Rowan asked, sliding into the booth beside me. Corrigan leaned in to give me a kiss on the cheek. Rowan turned to me and pressed his lips to my cheek, the side of my throat, my temple, just like that. Bam, 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 the same way my heart beat with his nearness.
"Afraid of change," Sam said, shooting us a surprised look.
I told him Rowan and I had hung out. But I hadn't mentioned what that meant, mostly because I was still trying to figure it out myself, and trying to contain my freakouts to a minimum meant not talking about Rowan and me. I just wanted to, for once in my life, be, and not have things mean more than that. But telling people, that meant putting a label on things, and I didn't want that either. "Nothing," I said at the same time, glaring at Sam. Cor chuckled. Rowan fought back a grin. I gave them both a look of disbelief. "You agree with him?"
"Remember the time they changed our meet location an hour before we were scheduled to be there, and you kept banging the steering wheel saying you hated sudden changes?"
Cor asked. "So, because I don't like last-minute surprises, I automatically hate change?" Rowan pulled me close and dropped a kiss on my head. I shrugged him away to look at him, waiting. His lips twisted with amusement, his eyes twinkling.
"I'll agree with you if you want me to, but you don't do well with change, babe."
"Don't call me babe. I'm not a pig." I crossed my arms, pursing my lips. In the past, I didn't mind it whenever he called me babe. I just didn't want him to call me anything while my blood was sizzling with annoyance. Maybe I didn't like change, but that didn't mean I was afraid of it. Disliking something and being afraid of something were two entirely different things. I said this to them, and the three of them looked like the last thing they wanted to do was argue. But Rowan, of course, couldn't help himself.
"People are afraid of things they don't understand," he said in a calm voice.
I took a healthy gulp of my whiskey. The waiter came by and took Rowan and Corrigan's orders. I let that sink in for a moment. I wanted to argue the point, but decided against it. I was all about picking my battles, and it was clear the odds were stacked against me in this case. Rowan ordered me another drink when his came. Sam shot us a warning look.
"How many more can you handle, Tess?"
I flashed him my middle finger. "A lot."
"More than you,"
Rowan said, putting an arm around my shoulder again. I leaned into him.
"I never said otherwise."
Sam's gaze flicked between Rowan and me.
"Did you tell Tessa about our family meeting?"
Rowan, who was taking a sip of his drink, started to choke cough. Somehow, in the midst of the choke cough, he managed to shoot Sam a look that promised bad things if he continued speaking, which only made me even more curious, though I wouldn't push it right now. Corrigan and I shared a look, and being the great friend Cor was, he stepped in and took the heat off Rowan, who clearly didn't want to talk about their family meeting.
"So, how long are you here for?"
he asked me. "Till next weekend. You?"
"Same. I got offered an accounting job in Cali. Figured I'd go soak up some rays before I start in a few weeks."
"That's awesome." If I sounded like I was proud of him, it was because I was. Cor hadn't graduated at the top of our class, but because of his rowing skills, he'd landed an athletic scholarship at Columbia alongside Rowan. What he did while he was there was obviously more impressive than the scholarship itself. I smiled, because he really had worked his ass off for this opportunity. "I'm proud of you, Cor. You freaking made it."
"I freaking made it,"
he grinned, bringing his beer to his lips.
"Why aren't you tied down yet? It seems like half our senior class is already engaged. You're always the most sought-after girl in school. I thought you'd be the first to get a proposal."
The sip of whiskey I was taking sputtered from my lips. "I think you're confusing me with someone else."
"I'm not."
His pale blue eyes twinkled. "None of you ever showed interest in me," I argued. "I didn't even have a prom date. Rowan had to step up and take me." At that, both Sam and Corrigan started to howl in laughter.
"Poor Rowan, taking one for the team."
I nodded, wide-eyed. They both shook their heads, giving me a sympathetic look.
"Why do you think no guys asked you out?"
Corrigan asked, and then revised,